Welcome to Rochambeau, the podcast about unique competitions and the extraordinary competitors that make them happen. I'm Kim.
And I'm Ted. Thanks for joining us. We hope you got to hear our last couple episodes. We were on a break, and you may have been on a break. And
if happy post-holidays. Happy New Year, happy everyone.
Happy 2019.
Yes.
Yes. If you missed those, go back and listen to them. They're very holiday-centric. There was the World Championship of Santa Clauses.
There was the gathering of the surfing Santas in Cocoa Beach.
And there was the Trailer Park Gingerbread Decorating Contest.
Yeah, so if you guys were on a break, you got a lot to catch up on. And we recommend that you give this stuff a listen on CastBox.
We love CastBox. We both use it. I use it all the time. It's great, easy to find things, easy to use. And we highly recommend it.
Indeed we do. But on to today's episode.
What do you have for me today, Kim?
The World's Ugliest Dog Contest.
Wow.
His tongue sticks out to the right and down. It never goes into his mouth.
On the end of his fingernails, hair grows out.
Low to the ground, very, very bow-legged.
Spiky Einstein-type hair on the top of his head.
His hair sticks straight out.
Born without most of his teeth.
With the face that looked like gravity was on Jupiter.
Elephant skin, gray, hairless dog, and he has stitches above his eye.
We tried to explain that, you know, every dog is lovable no matter how they look.
Oh my goodness.
Oh gosh, y'all. The World's Ugliest Dog Contest takes place around the end of June every year at the Sonoma Marin Fair.
The dogs sound really ugly.
But so well loved. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this is one of my favorite episodes we've done.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the people's attachment to their pups is just phenomenal. And then when you hear about what they look like, it's just... it's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing. It really is. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I find it hard to believe that these dogs are really that ugly. Because, I mean, dogs, I mean, if they're funny looking, they're still cute in a funny way.
Sure. You might not choose the word ugly, but I bet you someone would.
Right.
All right. So to start off, I present to you Allison Caney. She's the CEO of the event center that's based around the fairgrounds, which is where the World's Ugliest Dog Contest takes place each year.
Is it during the fair?
It is during the fair. Okay. Yep, one of the attractions. So that's one of, to me, one of the really fun things is, unlike a lot of competitions that we cover, this is one that people could accidentally stumble upon.
Oh boy, yeah. Imagine just walking up and like going to the crowd and you're like, oh, look at that dog. Oh, look at that dog. Oh my gosh.
Exactly. Like, what's in the water around here? All right, here's Allison.
My name's Allison Caney, and I'm the CEO of the Sonoma Marin Fairgrounds and Event Center. Our annual fair is in June, and the World's Ugliest Dog Competition is one of our biggest attractions of our fair.
And it's been going on for, what, 28 years, 29?
Somewhere in there. There's sort of a mythological local mystique about the competition. It didn't start with our fair. It started as a community building downtown event many years ago, and then eventually came to the fairgrounds as part of what we do. So it's always a little debate as to when it actually started.
Well, what's the debate or story behind why it started?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question. I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
Well, how did you first hear about it?
I first heard about it as a fairgoer and, you know, in coming to the fair, that's how we learned about it and watched it and thought, well, that's kind of an interesting thing. You know, I think, you know, dogs are funny by nature and it's kind of a quirky thing. But underlying all that is the really important message that in a world of marketing beauty and, you know, things that are very attractive all the time, the true, you know, love for an animal or anything can get lost. And so, you know, the real spirit behind this competition, which seems so strange, is really that, you know, every animal deserves a loving home. Every animal contributes to a family in some way. And the stories behind some of these little guys are amazing. They really are.
That's really what drew us to this story more than anything else, is strange choice of words, but it sounds absolutely beautiful and just the sweetest thought behind celebrating little pups like this. So let's talk about some of these dogs, right?
Okay.
They're mostly mutts, I assume?
They are. Some of them are more purebred than others. And an example of that would be the Chinese Crested. And we saw a lot of them over the years enter the competition because they're naturally strange looking. They've got this tuft of hair and they're just quirky by the nature of their breed. So we tend to see more of those, and they're, like I said, probably more purebred than others. But everybody else, not only are they, you know, mutts, they are, you know, in a lot of cases, rescued abused animals who maybe came out of abusive situations and were in shelters or came out of puppy mills, places like that.
Aw, I was wondering if they started out that way or if they got that way. So, like, sounds like some of them could have been abused. And
we'll come to hear that a lot of them did start out that way, but would have had incredibly short lives had they not been cared for and, you know, taken from some of these rescue operations.
Right, right.
And so one of the backbones of this competition is they raise a ton of money and awareness for local shelters and rescues.
All right.
Yeah, they're doing good work.
This might be the first episode where I tear up.
It's hard to describe exactly how interesting these dogs are, but we're going to do our best moving forward.
Before we started officially recording, we looked at some pictures of the dogs just to see what they looked like.
Yeah, your reactions were not tears.
No, those they were not tears. Oh, so drooly. Look at you. What's his name? Brutus? It's all about tongues. A lot of tongues.
There's a droopy.
So droopy. Oh, look at that puggy. Wow, he's got a
he's
neck
like
on
a
him.
Wolf.
Yeah. Quasimodo. More tongues. Roo, look at your crazy hair. Oh, Scamp.
Scamp looks rough.
Yeah. He's a lowrider. Cross-eyed. And oh, look at that tongue.
I know.
It's as big as his head.
All right, you ready?
I guess I'm ready.
You know, it's not pretty. But I will say, and this is from, I've experienced this firsthand now. You know, the entries come in and you look at these dogs and you think, oh dear, you know, and you just, I can't explain the feeling. I think you know what I'm talking about. Then you meet them. So then you're at the competition and you meet the owners, and then the top three winners you spend time with after the competition, you actually get to know these animals. And it is amazing how wonderful they are. I mean, just their personalities just leech out past their, leech is a bad word, but they just sort of glow with their little spirits and the connection with their owner. It's just really something. And then and that was a huge surprise to me. Huge surprise.
That's just wonderful. So how does someone go about entering?
So they can enter with a the paper application, which they can download off of our website. And we make that available usually in mid-spring. They just come to our website, download the application. They can scan and email it to us or fax it in, and then we put them in contention for that day. We get a lot of questions. Is there a preliminary round? Do they have to go through a screening? And they don't. They don't. They just sign up. They need to send us a photo, fill it out, pay the entry fee, and then they're in the competition.
So anyone can enter. You guys aren't prejudging, saying that dog is way too pretty. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
Well, tell me about the competition day. How does the day break down?
You know, we've had some great organizers who've made it a real fun day beyond just the competition. So our participants usually come and, you know, check in a couple of hours before the competition. But we also have a pet fest that starts pretty soon after the fair opens. And these are, you know, local rescue organizations, veterinarians. We get basically exhibitors from the community to come and kind of, you know, and showcase their wares. So we have that. And then the press comes and sets up, and it is a very big press event. Then our participants come and check in, and we have a little reception area for them. We have a little area backstage, if you will, where they can relax and their dogs can relax. And then we bring them out a couple hours before the competition into a little corralled area, because the public and the press love to meet them. So they have this little meet and greet area. Yeah. So they get their paparazzi time.
That's so cute.
It's really cute. cute. And then we launch into the dog competition. Every dog gets a chance to come up on stage, and we roll out the red carpet for them. Their owner walks down, brings them up on stage, showcases them. We've got three judges that evaluate them. Couldn't tell you the criteria. Then when they're all done, the final three are brought back to the stage, and lots of audience participation in choosing the final rank. And
meaning like a yeah. clap-off type thing?
Yes, exactly. And that's how they decide who's first, second, third.
That's awesome. And when you say roll out the red carpet, are you being literal?
No, I'm being literal, yes. There is a red carpet that they walk up one side, go up on stage, and come down the other, yes.
Oh my gosh, that is so precious. I can't stand
really
it.
Really precious, yeah.
Yes. So what about the prizes? What are they competing for?
A great question. There's a monetary prize, and I think first place got $1,500.
Awesome.
Second place got $1,000. Third place got $750. And then we had a generous donor last year offer a match. So each winner was able to select an animal charity of their choice. And we sent a matching check to that charity in the name of the dog. Yes. Yeah, so that was really nice. I mean, you know, we give them the big check. Oh, and they get these giant trophies. They're far from understated.
All right, well, I got to pause you because we love trophies at Rochambeau. Tell me about this trophy.
So this trophy for the first place winner is about 5.5 feet tall, three layers, three tiers. It is shiny and pink and sparkly.
What?
And it has the dog logo on there. But what's really funny about the trophies is, believe it or not, we get quite a number of participants from out of state, and we've had them from out of the country. Not last year, but the year before that, like three or four times, we get this family that comes in from the UK. And then this year, two of the three top winners were out of state. One was from Arizona, one was from Minnesota. So I bring that up because two of those trophies had to be dismantled.
That is also something that comes up on our podcast a lot, is the looks and stories that go along with flying home through a public airport with a giant trophy.
I can imagine.
This reminds me of the Rock, Paper, Scissors one where he won and he's on his way home in the train and people wanted to battle him in Rock, Paper, Scissors.
And he was like, heck no, I'm not going to lose this title that quickly.
I wonder if the dogs have that same problem. I see another ugly dog. They're like, nope, I'm good. I won.
Look away, people.
No, look away.
Look away.
It was cute how she was saying she gets to hang out with the dogs later and they're so nice. You know, they don't know they're funny looking.
No, they have don't. No idea. And their owners just never told them because they love them so much.
Right.
All right. But aside from the trophies, there's actually one other component to the prizes that is super freaking cool.
Oh, nice. I can't wait.
The first place winner gets the exciting trip to New York.
What happens in New York?
So one of our judges and sponsors is the Today Show's NBC. So NBC meets with the first place winner. Monday morning, they're up at, you know, oh, dark 30, getting ready, gussied up, and the family and the dog are announced to the world on their TV show.
Oh, that's wonderful. Since this is audio, can we take a minute to have you describe a couple of the winners from the past?
Oh, sure. The two recent are the ones I know the best. So,
let's talk about them.
So the first one, just this year for 2018, was Zaza. And Zaza was, and I use this past tense because Zaza actually passed away over the summer. She, so Zaza was a rescue from a puppy mill English bulldog. A terrible underbite, very, very bow-legged, but just low to the ground, wide, you know, just, and the tongue. She has... or had this tongue that just hung out of her mouth.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at a picture of that tongue.
Yeah, and her owner said, yeah, kids will come up and shake her tongue. Like, how do you do? So English bulldogs have only an 8 to 10-year life expectancy, and Zaza was 9.
Oh,
so
wow.
When you think about the kind of life she had and the fact that she lived to 9, that's actually pretty impressive. Yeah, and you know, you think too of her family, you know, not rescuing her, you know, maybe passing her by because she was ugly, you know what would her lifespan be like?
Right.
And she was the sweetest animal and absolutely loved being here and loved the audience. and sat there on that stage drooling. She left a little puddle and just soaked it up. It was the cutest thing. And I have to say, what else you may have noticed in the photos are the way that the owners dress their animals.
Yeah.
They are dressed to the T. These are well cared for animals. They're dressed up very nicely. Owners usually match them. There's usually a coordinated outfit, and you get the whole ensemble, the whole look. It's all very well put together.
And Zaza pageantry.
Was a pink girl. Yeah. Yeah, there is some pageantry. And Zaza was all about pink, and so handing her that giant pink trophy was really perfect.
Oh, no
yeah.
doubt. Well, what about another past winner?
So the other past winner was Martha. Martha's a year before, and Martha is a like a hound dog, large dog, you know, charcoal gray with the face that looked like, you know, gravity was on Jupiter, you know, just pulling on her.
And she pulled up a picture of her. Yeah, oh my goodness.
It looks like the saddest thing in the world. But again, one of the most amazing, loving animals. And
Her cheeks are like as long as my forearm.
Yeah. When you see cartoons about animals with, you know, dogs with droopy, that's her. And it was really special this last year because Martha actually came back and bestowed the crown to the new winner. And so that was.
Oh, that's so sweet. And the picture that I'm looking at right now, her owner is looking at Martha with such adoration. It mm-hmm. is so, so sweet.
It's a wonderful thing, and I think I just want to really stress to people, while it seems like a very strange competition, you know, and we get messages too from folks that say it's cruel.
No.
But that's not, you know, that's not the intent. It's there are many, many animals in shelters that go ignored every year. And, you know, the message here is that doesn't need to happen. And, you know, the perfect addition to your family may be exactly what you never expected.
That is so cute.
Yeah, it's yeah. super sweet. This yeah. is very heartwarming.
Yeah, it makes you want to go to the pound and get a funny looking fella.
And how would your Ollie feel about that?
He'd be fine. He don't care.
Ted has a giant bear of a dog.
Yeah, he does look like a bear.
He's huge. And sometimes Ted puts a bear wig on his dog.
No, I put a lion's mane on
Oh,
him.
That's right.
Yeah, it matches perfectly. Yeah, he's way too pretty, though, for this competition.
He is a beautiful, beautiful, gigantic yes. lion dog.
Yes, he is. But I love also these guys wear fancy dress.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Owners and dogs.
I know.
Can't
this is right
get
up
away
around.
From the fancy dress,
no,
man.
No, we can't. Yeah. Why would we even try?
Good
Run
point.
Towards it. Next up, we have a wild thing.
We do have a wild thing. Next up is Anne.
Oh, it's Thang.
A-N-G.
Right, gotta get it straight.
Anne is the owner of Wild Thang, and her love for this crazy looking
oh,
pup
my
just
gosh.
Radiates.
Kim is showing me a picture of Wild Thang.
I love him so much.
Again with the tongues.
I know. I know.
Hi, my name is Anne, and I own Wild Thang. He's a Pekingese. And he was the people's choice on the internet, and he didn't win, but he was a crowd favorite.
So have you guys entered just the one time?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've never entered the ugly dog contest because I raise and show and breed top Pekingese dogs. And ironically, I had taken in a rescue. And that rescue came to me unknowingly with distemper. And Wild Thing was a young puppy at the time and had contracted it, which resulted in some obvious paralysis in the jaw and other deformities, which caused him to be one of the ugliest dogs I've ever seen. But we still love him to death.
That's so sweet, though. I didn't realize that you also dealt with basically show dogs and purebreds.
Yes, The whole objective of the ugly dog contest is to promote rescues. And I work with rescues too. And we try to explain that, you know, every dog is lovable no matter how they look.
For those who don't know, could you explain a little more about the ailment that he has?
Yeah, basically what it is, distemper is a very, very horrible disease in dogs. And it causes paralysis, neurological problems, heart conditions, muscle problems. It basically affects every organ in the body, and puppies who get it at that age, 90% die. But about $2,000 later, lots of IVs and lots of love and care and attention, he managed to make it through, but it's an airborne virus, and it's very common and it's something that can easily be resolved with their puppy shot.
Oh my gosh. So one of the main reasons dogs get it is they're not given their shots when they're young?
Exactly. Them or their parents are not vaccinated. And fortunately, all of my dogs are vaccinated. And Wild Thing had his first set of shots, but he was too young for his second set of shots. If he would have had his second set of shots, he probably would have been immune like my adult dogs. But Smurf was the only one that survived from that group.
Did you say Smurf?
Oh, sorry, Wild Thing. We call him Smurf. But they're very rare blue Pekingese. He's not black. He's actually a, we sent a DNA to Davis University because I said, I think he's blue.
Will you go ahead and describe what Wild Thing looks like?
Okay. In my eyes, Wild Thing is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But in everybody else's eyes, he's the ugliest thing that anyone's ever seen. His tongue sticks out to the right and down. It never goes into his mouth. As a matter of fact, I just gave him a bath and I had to clean his tongue too. His hair sticks straight out. He's got a full coat. And one of his taglines was lots of hair and just don't care. He always has that unkept look, regardless of whether or not he just had a full grooming and bath. He's a blue Pekingese with white paws and a white chest.
Gosh. So the picture that you sent me earlier, he's got his head kind of cocked to the side and you can only really see one of his eyes. Does he do that pose often?
He only does it when there's a camera pointed at him. As soon as the camera comes out, he does the little cocking of the head and gives me the little Igor look.
He's adorable. He has like 80s metal hair.
He looks like he's been headbanging for a long time.
Yeah. And he's not Smurf blue. He's like a midnighty blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't really tell in the picture, but what an adorable little dude.
He was the crowd favorite. He's done personal appearances. He loves everybody.
Aw, tell me about the personal appearances.
Well, the personal appearances, none of them have been on TV or anything, but he's gone to convalescent hospitals. He's gone to various rescues when they have adoption days. He's not up for adoption. But he comes as basically representing the ugly dog competitor. And that kind of attracts people, and people want their picture taken with him. And he can't get enough attention. But when I say personal appearances, just personal appearances around town. If he would have won the ugly dog contest, they're obligated to fly their dog from Petaluma, California, which is where the contest is, to attend the morning show in New York the following day. After the morning show, there's a string of other interviews. Unfortunately, the one that did win did not make it. She passed away a week later.
I heard that.
It was so sad. Her name was Zsa Zsa. She was a bulldog, and she was an awesome, awesome dog.
She also had a tongue that stuck out.
Her tongue actually touched the ground.
Wow.
And she was a hoot because you literally have to take your dog and put him up on the table. And it was so hot. It was over 100 degrees. Oh. And any of what they call the brachycephalic breeds, which is the smush nose breeds, are extremely sensitive to heat because they don't have a muzzle to filter out the heat. Mm. So they, Wild Thing the entire time was lying down on an ice pack with a fan on him, and his hair was blowing all over the place. And everybody thought that was just so funny, and he would not get off his ice pack. And Zsa Zsa, the winner of the ugly dog contest, she drank water constantly. And then when it was time to show her, they picked her up and put her on the judges' table where the judges could go over her to see if she was friendly and everything. And at that point, she decided to shake. And all the judges got saturated. But she was just a sweet, awesome dog. But she was an old, old, old dog that was used as a breeder. And then auctioned off when she was no longer old enough to breed. She ended up in a dog auction, and a rescue had gotten her. And these people got her from that rescue. So that was a pretty neat story, too. But everybody that was in the show, they all have a story. The one that won second place is a street dog from Compton. And I'm afraid Smurf has never seen the streets. Smurf has always been my spoiled, rotten, pampered pooch, and he gets whatever he wants whenever he wants, and he knows how to ask.
Amazing. That's amazing. So the dog from the streets of Compton, what did he look like?
He kind of looked like a little terrier mix, like a Yorkie. He was sort of gray, and his hair kind of was very wiry. Might have had a little chihuahua in him. He was an absolute sweet dog, too. He had a bunch of mats, and I'm a grooming fanatic, which probably is why I didn't win, because I just can't stand one mat in my dog. But if I groomed my dog the way they groomed theirs, I probably would have won. But I just can't have a mat in my dog.
Understood. So tell me how he became the People's Choice. How does that part of the contest work?
What happens is before the judging, like, literally like a month before, they allow the online voting. So people can go into the World's Ugliest Dog Contest site and vote on their favorite. It has pictures of all of them, and it has a bio of all of them, and people are allowed to vote. And he literally had almost 1,000 more votes than the number two dog. It was always between Wild Thing and Zsa Zsa, but he didn't even make the cut. He didn't even get third because he was just too pretty, and he moved like a show dog. But we had a heck of a lot of fun anyway.
I bet you did. So tell me how you heard about the contest originally.
Somebody had told me about it because they said that he was the ugliest dog they'd ever seen and he should compete in the contest. And I'm like, sure, why not? So everybody was responsible for their own trip there. So I bought a plane ticket to Petaluma and stayed in a hotel overnight and went the following day. But to tell you the truth, it was a heck of a lot of fun. Everybody really enjoyed their dogs. And the competitors are kind of all buddies. They're very friendly with each other. There's nobody in competition mode. Everybody's just real friendly, and they have a good time. There was a huge crowd turnout. People actually come from all over the world to see this, which is hysterically funny. And all the crowd cheered for their favorite dogs. And like your site says, you know, it's just very, very interesting how people are fanatics about things that normal people would go, what?
Anne gets us.
She does, yeah. And she went to our site.
Yeah.
RochambeauPodcast.com.
That site.
Yeah.
I know that site.
Tens of people go there every month.
That's right.
That's cool that the competitors get along and have fun with it, you know, and there's no competition. It's just a good old time.
Yeah.
We like that.
You don't really want a cutthroat competition between dogs.
Right. No.
Sounds terrible and scary. Well, our next guest, Dane, actually has the honor of having competed in the contest with a dog more than anybody else.
Oh, really? Return competitor.
A over 40-time return competitor.
Go, Dane.
I'm Dane Andrew from Sunnyvale, California, and I own Rascal, the ugliest dog, who competes in the World's Ugliest Dog Competition. And I'm the longest running competitor, going on my 43rd year, believe it or not, of competing there. And actually have had dogs that total a win of 14 different first place wins since I was a kid. So it's kind of unbelievable.
That really is. Who was the first dog that you entered?
My first dog was towards the start of the competition back in 1976, Chi-Chi, and I got him as a birthday present. I wanted a boxer puppy, and my mom had me cover my eyes, and I heard the barking, and I was excited I was going to get a boxer puppy. So when I uncovered my eyes, there's this small elephant-skinned, gray, hairless dog, and he had stitches above his eye because he was a rescue. So you can imagine my shock. I'd actually never seen anything like it in my life. And I was like, what? When you expect one thing and there's something, a bait and switch thing. And the first thing she said is, quick, we're late for a vet appointment to get his stitches out. And that's how I wound up with him. And she, you know, thrust him on my lap in the car. I'm just looking at him, what is this thing? But really, really quickly, he, you know, grew on me. By the time I got to the vet's office, I was like, he's kind of neat, actually. And so that was
so
my
cool
first experience with him. And then someone said there was a ugly dog contest for, I believe it was for San Jose Mercury newspaper. And you know, I didn't think anything of it. They were like, you should take him there. We took him and he won. And then there was the world competition. At that time, they had a photo contest in the beginning, and we sent his photo in and it won. So we came on down to the actual contest when they held it the following year, and he won first place, not knowing that this would go on and on, for so many years. It just seemed like a fun thing. And he wound up winning their photo contest and 7 first place wins. And it's in the Guinness Book of World Records for winning the most world's ugliest dog contest ever.
Wow.
And then, yeah, it's pretty amazing. Then he had another rescue doggy later, and she, Mai Tai, won 3 competitions. And then there was daughter Lady Pink, who won 3 competitions. It seemed to just like keep moving on. And then there was original Rascal, the world's ugliest dog, who won there as well, and went on to win 17 other ugly dog contest wins.
Oh my gosh.
Rascal Du, who I have here, has won 6 contests now on his own in this short time of competing.
And how old is Rascal?
He's won 3 other different contests. He's 6. Yeah, going on 6.
All of the dogs that you've competed with, you've gotten them all since they were puppies?
Yeah. I had them all since they were little guys. And Rascal Du is a rescue. The other ones were, kind of a pick of the litter, which I thought I was picking the most pretty dogs. And turned out I was picking the ugly dogs, I guess. Well, to me, they look, like normal dogs, but evidently not. The world judged them. Their notoriety isn't, just going to waste. Kind of use it to get the word out there for people to spay and neuter and donate to your rescue shelter near you and do what you can, because they really do need help. And when people are having fun, the animals are healthy and everything, get to meet them, it really does help bring, some notoriety to the rescue.
What a streak with all those dogs, all the Rascals. And
yeah.
I had no idea the competition went back to 1976.
Yeah. So the way that Allison tells it, it's been part of the fair for almost 28 years. But I guess before the fair, when she was like, there's a little bit of legend around how it all started. It started as a mail-in photo competition prior to that. And Dane was on the very front end of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's become a lifestyle. Crazy. In a good way.
So aside from promoting rescues and spaying and neutering, Dane tries to use Rascal's notoriety for as much good as possible.
Taking him to schools and letting at-risk youth hear the story. And he has a new movie coming out called The Adventures of Skanky Du. It has an all-star cast. They're all talking dogs. We shot on the Queen Mary in the most haunted parts of the ship and the engine room used for Titanic. Have an all-star cast. I mean, can't even remember everyone we have on there. Fred the Hammer Williamson from Dusk Till Dawn, Kevin Sorbo, Cheech Marin, Pat Boone, Dan Loria, Tom Dreesen, Donna Mills, Danny Masterson, Elkie Summer, Joe Cirola, Jim McMahon, the NFL star, Roger Perry from Star Trek, Kathy Garber from Family Affair, Craig T. Nelson, Gavin McLeod, Captain Steubing from The Love Boat,
nice.
Which makes sense because they shot a lot of it on the Queen Mary. Sally Kellerman, original Hot Lips from MASH, sings the theme song. And we might be shooting with John Provost, the original Timmy from Lassie. So and all these people volunteered because the movie is going to help raise funds for animal rescue. It's a not-for-profit movie.
And tell me the name of the movie again.
The Adventures of Skanky Du. I hope to have it out by next year or so. We'll see.
That's
amazing. Of course, been asked to do horror movies and, I've been asked to do The Tonight Show, The View, Last Call, Carson Daly. So it's been kind of a whirlwind, things you don't expect, and you never know who it's going to be on the other line when the phone rings. And
would you go ahead and describe what Rascal looks like for us?
Yeah, Rascal is kind of a gray and pink mottled colored dog who's naturally hairless, never shaven. He has spiky Einstein type hair on the top of his head, sort of a white punk rock hair, and then long white hair on the end of his tail. And on the end of his fingernails, hair grows out kind of long. So it's like there's no hair down the legs. You get down by the nails and there's white hair that's like about an inch long sticks out from there. He has born without most of his teeth. So he really kind of would gum you if he ever attacked, but he's pretty friendly guy. He's sort of a chupacabra, some people said, other people call him bat dog.
That's so cool. So I didn't really realize the scope of public appearances, but you were kind enough to send me some links. So I did see the music video. How did he get hooked up with that?
The lady Athena, that did the wonderful new song, You Bring Me Luck, actually had seen Rascal, I guess, on some different shows and told the producer of the video she wants that dog for her video. And they said, oh, we can't find him. You know, let's just use this other dog. And they said, no, I'm waiting. I want that dog. So when you see the music video, You Bring Me Luck, which you can find on YouTube, really fun video, but not just a funny video. The song actually is really good.
It's very catchy.
It's about the love between a woman and her dog. So at first you think it's about her love affair with a man, and then you find out the thing in the bed with her is the dog. So she's really attached to.
And not just a dog, but the world's ugliest dog.
Yeah, the world's ugliest.
Oh, you rascal.
Oh, my gosh. So we will have a link to You Bring Me Luck on RochambeauPodcast.com because it is an adorable video and a really catchy song, too.
Nice. How about The Adventures of Skanky Doo, Kim?
How about that?
I'm going to see it
right,
because there's one person from Star Trek in it. Yeah. So I'm sold. And Meryl Stubing.
You know, it didn't make it into this episode because, of course, we do long form interviews and we try to cut them down to obviously give you the, quickest, best story possible.
The meat of the story.
The meat of the story, yes. But in the Raw interview, Dane actually told me that he has met other people from Star Trek as well.
Whoa.
And he got to go to a premiere of one of the movies and he got to dress up.
Oh, yeah.
In Star Trek gear.
Did he bring Rascal with him?
Yes, of course. He got to dress Rascal up.
I see.
Yes.
Right. He looks like an alien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a pretty cool looking dog.
Yeah. He's handsome in his way. They can hear you shrug over there.
Okay.
So at this point, they must be pretty comfortable in front of the camera and in front of all these crowds.
Yeah, I'd asked him, how does he do with all of this, public appearance and attention and camera lines? He's like, he absolutely loves it.
Nice.
And I guess that flows over to the day of the competition as well.
Right.
I guess there's always the nerves on, on competition day going to the world's ugliest dog contest. You don't want to be late and you never know what to expect. I mean, it sounds funny because the rascal's hairless, but he still needs to be bathed and, you just want to make sure, he's ready to go or something. And he's got his trademark patented hot dog leash that people kind of know him for, which at some point actually we're going to put that on the market as well to raise some funds for animal rescue.
That's a great idea.
Bring that out. And some people recognize him actually just from the leash even, which is really funny. But when you get out there, I don't know why it's a little nerve wracking or something, and never go out, expecting to win, just go there to have fun because that's really what it's all about, to go out and see everyone and just enjoy being there and meeting all the fans that come out. But the thing that's really special is these days get people that have Rascal signs that I don't even know. And they said they've never even been there. They go, oh, we saw him. We wanted to come out and it brought us out here to actually see the contest live, and they'll come out to support him. And I'm completely blown away by that. That's probably been the most special part of doing the contest, that people would feel that drawn to come out, to see him and get pictures with him and everything. And then of course, when you see the new, people and all their dogs, these dogs are very well loved, even, if they're ugly to a lot of people. And sometimes you are looking at someone else's dog going, oh, that dog's kind of ugly. And they're probably, thinking the same thing, about you. But someone told them. Usually that's what happens. People push you into it. Like, you should go to this contest.
Like, what are you saying about my dog? Okay.
Yeah, it's really, it's really great.
Can you tell me about some of the prizes that you've won?
A lot of the prizes I've actually donated to, some of the rescue shelters in the past.
Super
cool. So really not trying to make a profit on him at all. And, if he wins the world championship again, I think they give $1,600, which I think should just go to charity. And he's always said that, we'll just give it to the local shelter, a couple, divide it up between a couple different shelters.
Oh, Dane, that's
even
so
the, even
cool.
People think I make a living on him, and it's kind of funny. Isn't that your job or something? Do you live on him? Like, no. It actually cost me money. Could use the money, but not looking to make a profit on him. Yeah, just never know what's going to happen next. So, for instance, we're on your wonderful podcast today. So
there
that's
you go.
Something really special, just out of nowhere.
There
Love
you
it.
Go. If people want to learn more about Rascal, what's your website?
You can go to theworldsugliestdog.com. or theugliestdog.com or skankydoo.com. And you'll find out. It really hasn't been updated in a little while. Or you can friend him on Facebook. That's a good place to go under Rascal, the World's Ugliest Dog. You can find the video links on there as well. You know, lots of other fun photos, including you'll see the photos with the different celebrities over the years.
And how great is it that he doesn't take anything from this? That he donates it all back to the community.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's a really big deal. Actually, that's what his parting words are about.
Oh, really? All right.
You know, keep in mind to donate to your local shelter.
So, yeah. Are you inspired?
I am.
You're going to get yourself a new pup?
Well, I don't know.
Possibly the ugliest one you can find?
Possibly the ugliest one I can find because they need love, too.
They do.
Yeah. You know what? Who else needs love? Ugly cats.
Oh my gosh, there's no such thing as an ugly cat.
Probably not.
You could tell who's the cat person and who's the dog person in this, being that I didn't know what distemper was.
Right.
Good sign. I don't know much about dogs. So yeah, if you guys want to go check out this competition, and it's a great day.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. Get yourself out to California towards the end of June. You can find out more information on RochambeauPodcast.com. And we want to take a minute and thank everyone that was nice enough to share their time with us. Thanks to Allison, Anne,
Dane, Rascal, Rascal 2,
and Wild Thing. Thank you, everyone, for chatting with us. And thanks again, of course, to Cadillac Jones for sharing their music with us for this podcast.
If they play in your town, go see them. They're awesome. So on next episode, we're going shopping. Shopping for madness.
I love it. Until next time, people.
Goodbye. Why can't animals talk correctly? They always say humans.
So says who?
Says all the writing about them.
What are you reading and how is this spelled? Like, is this
H-O-O-M-A-N-S. Humans.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen humans.
You've never seen a comic written by a dog? Pretend to be written by a dog.
Oh, my
God. They say human. Oh, feed me or human. God.
That's so funny. No, I read a lot of the oatmeal and it's very cat-centric.
Right. The cats are probably smart. Dogs say humans. Cats say humans.
Good to know.